All stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
CIA projects and operations. Project Bluebird. Bluebird was the cryptonym for a CIA program involving special interrogation methods, including the use of drugs, hypnosis, and isolation techniques. It lasted from 1949 to 1950, when it was renamed Artichoke, and would eventually become the infamous MK Ultra. Responsibility for the project mainly lay with the Office of Science and Intelligence, a unknown division within the OSS, newly the CIA at this point in time. Official government records on Project Bluebird state that the special research into Bluebird had general problems. Within this redacted document, we were given a list of the difficulties that the agency had to overcome with these techniques, as they will be described. General problem. For the past several months, Bluebird has been endeavoring to ascertain by research, study, instruction, and some practice what value, if any, can be derived from the SI and the H techniques when applied to war and specific agency problems. These broad problems using known SI and H techniques may be classified as follows. A. Can accurate information be obtained from willing or unwilling individuals? B. Can agency personnel or persons of interest to the agency be conditioned to prevent any outside power from obtaining information from them by any known means? C. Can we obtain control of the future activities, physical and mental, of any given individual, willing or unwilling, by application of SI and the H techniques? And finally, D. Can we prevent any outside power from gaining control of future activities, both physical and mental, of agency personnel by any unknown means? Bluebird believes that A, from above, can be answered in the affirmative using the SI and the H techniques. Bluebird is not fully satisfied with results to date, but believes with continued work and study, remarkable and profitable results can be obtained regularly. However, subsections B, C, and D are yet unanswerable, although Bluebird is of the opinion that there is a worthwhile chance that all three may at some future date be answered affirmatively. This opinion is supported generally by numerous individuals having knowledge of these techniques and by much literature and intelligence in this field. Since an affirmative proof of B, C, and D would be of incredible value to this agency's Bluebird's general problem is to set up, conduct, and carry out research, practical, not theoretical, in this direction. Set out below is one specific proposal aimed at achieving our ends as rapidly as possible and with a maximum of security. Redacted. Through internal agency channels, Bluebird was given the name of Redacted. An individual of redacted extraction and not a citizen of the United States who had been given certain operational security clearance. Redacted was reported to have done considerable work in SI and H techniques and to have an unusual and interesting general background. Redacted was also reported as being reliable, trustworthy, a known anti-communist. In view of the above and of the instructions of the director of the INSS, Redacted was brought to a safe area near headquarters and interviewed, interrogated, and observed by Bluebird on 19th, 20, and 21st of February 1951. Redacted's personality, ability, intelligence, sincerity, and apparent security mindedness were impressive. Bluebird officers were unable to find any indications of deviousness or pro-Soviet interest during these observations. Redacted only apparent obvious weaknesses were his foreign background and non-United States citizenship. According to Redacted, he was born and redacted in redacted time frame. The next two pages of the report are completely blacked out. Starting again at page 5. Redacted discussed at various times his work and interest in the SI and the H techniques of interrogation. He claimed that most of his present work was along the lines of hypotherapy, which involves post-H suggestion, but admitted that his experience with drugs, gases, etc., in conjunction with SI and H techniques was somewhat limited, although he was familiar with much of the literature, both U.S. and foreign, in these fields. Redacted admitted that since he had been in the U.S., he had induced H conditions and at least several hundred individuals, both male and female, in all age groups. Redacted demonstrated successfully some of his operating methods before the B officers or Bluebird officers on the 19th, 20th, and the 21st. For matter of record, Redacted was briefed on the security aspects of Bluebird work and cautioned against all and any discussions outside concerning these matters. Redacted signed the standard security agreement. General purposes. On the basis of Redacted apparent ability, relatively simple and easy cover, background, personality, and interest, it is proposed that Redacted be either directly employed or contractually employed by the ISS for the specific purpose of engaging in quidded research, testing, and experimentation along SI and H interrogation techniques and the lines under the general direction of the director of INSS and under the immediate direction of Bluebird. Specific proposals. In the subsection of the specific proposals, it is proposed that Redacted be brought to headquarters immediately and formally interviewed by Redacted. Interview to include basis of arrangements, cover, locations, salary, operational funds, and security. It is proposed that Redacted be given a full and detailed polygraph examination by Redacted on material prepared by Redacted. It is proposed that immediately a full field investigation be started on Redacted to include checking of all names, places, squadrons, etc. mentioned by him. This is considered a high priority. It is proposed that immediately after Redacted has been given full security clearance, he will be thoroughly briefed, given all necessary funds and instructed to begin research and testing along lines set out in item 5 below. It is proposed that after a minimum amount of time to permit Redacted full opportunity to satisfactorily become operational, Bluebird officers and trainees will, under suitable cover, participate in and assist with the research and the testing for purposes of training and experience. Bluebird specific problems. Set out below are specific problems which can only be resolved by experiment, testing, and research, as proposed in the paragraphs above. These are not in any sense of all of the problems that Bluebird is considering, but are merely typical and point up the need for practical research. 1. Can we condition by Post 2 suggestion agency employees or persons of interest to this agency to prevent them from giving information to any unauthorized source or for committing any act on behalf of a foreign or domestic enemy? 2. Can we, in a matter of an hour, 2 hours, 1 day, etc., induce an H-level condition in an unwilling subject to such an extent that he will perform an act for our benefit from a long-range distance? 3. Can we create, by post to control, an action contrary to an individual's basic moral principles? 4. Could we seize a subject and, in the space of an hour or two, post H control and have him crash an airplane, wreck a train, etc., from a short and immediate activity? 5. Can we, by SI and H techniques, force a subject, unwilling or otherwise, to travel long distances, commit specified acts and return to us or bring us documents and materials? Can a person acting under post H control successfully a long distance travel? 6. Can we use SI and H techniques to combat fatigue, produce extreme mental effort? 7. Can we guarantee total amnesia under any and all conditions? 8. Can we alter a person's personality? How long will it hold? 9. Can we design tests to determine whether or not an enemy agent has been conditioned by SINH or any other method or techniques? 10. Can we detect SINH techniques by the use of SINH regression? 11. Can we make a conditioned subject reveal by SINH techniques specifically how they were conditioned through use of drugs, torture, fatigue, hostage pressure, or other techniques? 12. Can we devise a system for making unwilling subjects into willing agents and then transfer that control to untrained agency agents in the field by use of codes or identifying signs or credentials? 13. How long can we sustain a post-H suggestion unaided with reinforcement? 14. What would be the fastest way to induce an SI and H conditions with drugs or without any mechanical aids. Number 15. Can we devise a standard, simple, relatively fast technique for inducing the SI and H conditions that can be used by untrained agents with or without drugs? Number 16. Is it possible to find a gas that can be used to gain SI control from a gas pencil, odorless, colorless, one shot, etc.? Number 17. What are the full details on sleep-inducing machines? Number 18. How can sodium A or P or any other sleep-inducing agent be best concealed in a normal or commonplace item, such as candy, cigarettes, liquor, wines, coffee, tea, beer, gum, water, aspirin tablets, common medicines, Coca-Cola, or toothpaste? Number 19. How effective can the carotid artery technique be made? Can it be used while the subject is unconscious? Is it faster than other techniques? Number 20. Can we use SI and H techniques to extract complicated formula from scientists, engineers, etc., if unwilling to give up the information? Can we extract details of gun emplacements or landing fields and factories and mines? 21. Can we, while a subject is under SI and H control, show them a map and have them point out specific items, locations, etc. on the map? Can we also have them make detailed drawings or sketches or plans? Could any of the above be done under field conditions and in a very short space of time? This is some of the only remaining documents that are available for Project Bluebird, CIA's first attempt at mind control. It wasn't much later that Project Blue Book gave over to Project Artichoke, also referred to as Operation Artichoke. This was a Central Intelligence Agency project that researched on interrogation methods. Preceded by Bluebird, Artichoke officially rose on August 20, 1951, and was operated by the CIA's Office of Scientific Intelligence. The primary goal of Project Artichoke was to determine whether a person could be involuntarily made to perform an act of attempted assassination. The project also studied hypnosis, forced morphine addiction, and subsequent forced withdrawal, and the use of other chemicals, including LSD, to produce amnesia and other vulnerable states in subjects. In 1953, Project Artichoke gave birth to Project MK Ultra. Artichoke was a mind control program that gathered information together with the intelligence divisions of the Army, Navy, Air Force, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. In addition, the scope of the project was outlined in a memo dated January 1952 that asked, quote, "Can we get control of an individual to the point where he will do our bidding against his will and even against fundamental laws of nature, such as self-preservation?" Project Artichoke was the Central Intelligence Agency's secret code name for carrying out in-house and overseas experiments using the drug LSD, hypnosis techniques, and total isolation as forms of psychological harassment for special interrogations on human subjects. At first, agents used cocaine, marijuana, heroin, peyote, and mescaline, but they increasingly saw LSD as the most promising drug. The subjects who left this project were fogged with amnesia, resulting in faulty and vague memories of the experience. In 1952, LSD was increasingly given to unknowing CIA agents to determine the drug's effects on unsuspecting people. One record states that an agent was kept on LSD for 77 days. Artichoke researched the potential of the dengue fever and other diseases. A declassified Artichoke memo read, quote, "Not all viruses have to be lethal. The objective includes that those that act as short-term and long-term incapacitating agents." The CIA disputed which department would take over the operation. Finally, it was decided that an agent from the CIA research staff, former U.S. Army Brigadier General Paul F. Gaynor, would oversee it. The CIA sought to establish control over what it perceived as the weaker and less intelligent segments of society, or for potential agents, defectors, refugees, prisoners of war, and others. A CIA report states that if hypnosis succeeded, assassins could be created to assassinate a, quote, "prominent, redacted politician, or if necessary, an American official," end quote. The overseas operations took place in locations throughout Europe, Japan, Southeast Asia, and the Philippines. Teams were assembled to manage these operations, and they were told to, quote, "conduct at the overseas bases operational experiments utilizing aliens as subjects," end quote. In a 5-page memorandum wrote for the Record about Project Artichoke, we find that Artichoke is the agency cryptonym for the study and or use of special interrogation methods and techniques. These special interrogation methods have been known to include the use of drugs and chemicals, hypnosis, and total isolation, a form of psychological harassment. A review of available file information obtained from Office of Security Resources failed to reflect a comprehensive or complete picture of the Artichoke program as participated in by the Office of Security. Fragmentary information contained in a variety of files previously maintained by the Security Research Staff, SRS, reflected several basic papers which described in general terms the program known as Artichoke. Information contained therein indicated that prior to 1952, the Office of Security had studied the use of drugs and chemicals in, quote, "unconventional interrogation," end quote. These studies were evidently coordinated with the agency unit, which was then called OSI. OSI at the time apparently was the coordinating unit within the CIA. One paper reflected that an Office of Security team as early as 1949 to 1950 experimented with drugs and hypnosis under a project called Bluebird. This paper also reflected that by 1951, actual interrogations utilizing drugs were conducted by a combined team of Office of Security and Office of Medical Services personnel, but few details were available. File information indicated that in 1952, overall responsibility for Project Artichoke passed from OSI to the Office of Security, References to operational use of drugs as an aid to interrogation since that time were found in various files, but a few details concerning these experiments were reflected. A memorandum subject titled Project Artichoke, dated 21st November 1952 by Mr. Sheffield Adams, reflected a transfer of control of Project Artichoke from OSI to the Office of Security. The memorandum indicated that the INSO Office of Security should call upon the research and support facilities of the CIA medical staff and the Office of Technical Services as required. Responsibility for the evaluation of foreign intelligence aspects of the project were to remain with OSI. The unit within the Office of Security, which apparently coordinated Project Artichoke activities, was the SRS, which Mr. Redacted, for many years, the focal point. Details of Office of Security involvement in individual project instances, a reference in an SRS log 1951-67, indicated that, as of 1967, the term artichoke is not in general use now, and drug interrogation is conducted from the recommendation of an agency committee of which the chief SRS is the Office of Security Representative. No record was found which reflected when or if overall responsibility for Project Artichoke was transferred from the Office of Security to any other agency component. One of the few areas where detailed information was available was concerned with hypnotic experimentations. A log of hypnotic experiments was conducted by the Office of Security personnel and was reviewed. The log reflected that numerous, probably several hundred experiments with hypnotism were conducted in agency buildings, apparently utilizing the staff employee volunteers as their subjects. In some instances, representatives from agency components, other than the Office of Security, were present. The log reflected hypnotic experiments during 1951, 1952, and 1953. It could not be determined from available file information when the hypnotic experiments actually began or were caused to be ceased. No record was located which reflected hypnosis utilized as an actual operational tool in the field. In connection with hypnotism, it appears that SRS utilized an agency employee, a redacted, as an informant in various societies dealing with hypnotism to keep abreast of current developments in the field. Few references were found pertaining to the area of, quote, total isolation as an interrogation aid. A memorandum pertaining to this subject dated back 21st March 1955 was written by Mr. Redacted of the SRS to the Director of Security. The paper discussed total isolation techniques as an operational tool of potential. Another paper, a sterilized version, probably written by an element of the Department of Defense, dated 16th March 1955, reflected the results of total isolation experiments on six volunteers, all members of the U.S. military. No reference was found to any additional experiments in this field, nor was any reference found which reflected actual use of this technique in an operational situation. As far as the experimentation or utilization of various drugs is concerned, references to a few instances were located, but little detail was available, and it was clear from the files that much of the detailed information probably was maintained by agency units other than the Office of Security, i.e. the Office of Medical Services and the Office of Technical Services. Among the instances were the details were located in which drugs were used in operational environment under the auspices of Project Artichoke were the following. In 1954, three subjects were interrogated by a Project Artichoke team utilizing drugs of an unspecified nature. The three subjects were identified as redacted, redacted, and redacted. In a memorandum dated 13th January 1955, with a cover sheet signed by Mr. Redacted. The interrogations took place in Redacted, and the memorandum mentioned injections of solution number 1 and solution number 2, but these drugs were not further identified. It was noted in the memorandum that the cases were handled under, quote, straight drug techniques, hypnosis, or narcohypnosis was not attempted, end quote. A memorandum dated 20th January 1959 to Mr. Redacted from Redacted indicated that a field request had been made for a P1 interrogation. The writer, Mr. Redacted, identified a P1 interrogation as one using LSD. Approval was granted on 27th January 1959 by the initials Redacted. Presumably, Mr. Redacted from the sheet, no further reference to the case could be found, thus, no details were available. A series of cables between Redacted and headquarters in 1955 requested artichoke interrogations for 9 persons. No disposition in this instance was found, however, a transmittal slip affixed to the materials dated in 1960 indicated that the artichoke interrogations probably did not actually take place in Redacted at the time. A memo contained in the security file of Redacted reflected that an artichoke team was dispatched to Redacted in January 1952 to conduct artichoke interrogations on Redacted. No further reference to this operation was noted, and no disposition could be found. In case of Redacted, Redacted operation and Redacted drugs were utilized in the interrogation which took place in Redacted. Again, details of the operation were not available. However, an interview with the Office of Security representative who participated in the interrogation revealed that a form of LSD was used in this instance. In this case, approval was granted by headquarters for the artichoke interrogation. In a memorandum dated 6 July 1960, signed by Mr. Redacted, Deputy Director of Security, reflected that approval for use of drugs in this case was granted to a meeting of the Drug Committee on 1st July 1960 and cabled to Redacted. As stated earlier, little detail was available, and file information concerning the conduct of actual cases utilizing Project Artichoke techniques. It appears obvious, however, that the few cases noted above were only a small part of the actual utilization of artichoke techniques in the field. For one thing, almost no information was available for the period prior to 1952, so that Project Bluebird experiments and operations were not noted specifically. In addition, annual reports of accomplishments found in SRS log materials reflected a substantial amount of activity in the Project Artichoke area. The review of 1953 to 1954 stated in part that SRS had, quote, dispatched an artichoke team for permanent location in an overseas area. The review for 1954 to 55 stated in part that SRS conducted numerous artichoke experiments and, quote, prepared and dispatched an artichoke team to an overseas area to handle a number of sensitive cases. Review of file materials consistently reflected that the Office of Security exercised caution in the utilization of drugs under the artichoke program. Although it is apparent that SRS for a number of years was engaged with certain other agency components in research and operational work with hallucinogenic drugs, the work was apparently conducted under, quote, strict controls. As previously stated, no information pertaining to when or if control of Project Artichoke was transferred from the Office of Security to another agency component was located. Apparently, SRS at one time maintained an inventory of artichoke materials, which contained numerous drugs of all types, including LSD-25. A memorandum dating 14 October 1957 requested authorization for SRS to transfer artichoke materials and apparatus to Dr. Redacted of Medical Services. The memorandum was written by Mr. Redacted, and approval to transfer the materials was granted by Mr. Redacted on 17th October 1957. In the review of file information contained in SRS materials, one incident which occurred in November 1953 appears worthy of note. Although it was not clear from file information whether or not the incident occurred under the auspices of Project Artichoke, the incident did involve use of LSD in an experimental exercise. One Frank Olson, a civilian employee of the Department of the Army, committed suicide a week or so after having been administered LSD by an agency representative. Details concerning this incident apparently will be reported in a separate memorandum, but appears that the drug was administered to several unwitting subjects by a Dr. Gottlieb, at the time a branch chief in the TSS, now the OTS. A short time after the LSD was administered, the subjects were told that they had been given LSD. On the day following the experiment, Mr. Olson began to behave in a peculiar and erratic manner and was later placed under the care of a psychiatrist. A few days later, Olson crashed through a window in a New York hotel and in an apparent suicide. A memorandum dating 1 December 1953 from the IG staff caused the impoundment of all LSD materials. Information contained in the above mentioned files reflected that the drug had been administered without prior knowledge or approval of the Office of Security or the Office of Medical Services. End of report. Project MK Ultra. Project MK Ultra, or just simply MK Ultra, was the code name of a quasi-legal human experimentation program designed and undertaken by the United States Central Intelligence Agency. Experiments were intended to develop procedures and identify drugs such as LSD that could be used in interrogations to weaken individuals and force confessions through brainwashing and psychological torture. MKUltra used numerous methods to manipulate its subjects' mental states and brain functions, such as the covert administration of high doses of psychoactive drugs, more especially LSD, and other chemicals, electroshock therapy, hypnosis, sensory deprivation, isolation techniques, and verbal and sexual abuse, in addition to other forms of torture. MKUltra was preceded by two drug-related experiments, Project Bluebird and Project Artichoke. MKUltra began in 1953, was reduced in scope and size in 1964, and in 1967 was halted and finally ended in 73. It was organized throughout the CIA's Office of Scientific Intelligence and coordinated with the United States Army Biological Warfare Laboratories. The program engaged in illegal activities, including the use of U.S. and Canadian citizens as unwilling test subjects. MKUltra's scope was broad, with activities carried out under the guise of research at more than 80 institutions, including colleges and universities, hospitals, prisons, and pharmaceutical companies. The CIA operated using front organizations, although some top officials at these institutions were aware of the CIA's involvement. MKUltra was first brought to the public attention in 1975 by the Church Committee of the United States Congress and Gerald Ford's United States President's Commission on CIA Activities within the United States, also known as the Rockefeller Commission. Investigative efforts were hampered by the CIA director, Mr. Richard Helms. Helms ordered that all MKUltra files be destroyed in 1973. The Church Committee and the Rockefeller Commission and their investigations relied on the sworn testimony of direct participants and on the small number of documents that survived Helms' destruction order. In 1977, a Freedom of Information Act request that uncovered a cache of some 20,000 documents relating to MKUltra would lead to Senate hearings. Some surviving information about MKUltra was declassified in July 2001. The project's CIA cryptonym is a combination of the digraph MK, indicating the sponsorship of the Technical Services Staff, or the TSS, and the word ultra, which formally designated the most secret classification of World War II intelligence. Other related cryptonyms include Project MK Naomi and Project MK Delta. MK Delta was established to oversee the use of MK Ultra materials abroad. According to the Church Committee, quote, such materials were used on a number of occasions, end quote. According to the author Stephen Kinzer, the CIA project was a continuation of the work begun in World War II era Japanese facilities and Nazi concentration camps on subduing and controlling human minds. Kinzer wrote that MKUltra's use of mescaline on unwitting subjects was a practice that Nazi doctors had begun in the Dachau concentration camp. Kinzer proposes evidence of the continuation of a Nazi agenda, citing the CIA's secret recruitment of Nazi torturers and vivisectionists to continue the experimentation on thousands of subjects, and Nazis brought to Fort Detrick, Maryland, to instruct CIA officers on the lethal uses of sarin gas. The project was headed by Sidney Gottlieb, but began on the order of the CIA director, Alan Dulles, on April 13, 1953. Its aim was to develop mind-controlling drugs for use against the Soviet bloc in response to alleged Soviet, Chinese, and North Korean use of mind-control techniques on U.S. prisoners of war during the Korean War. The CIA wanted to use similar methods on their own captives, and was interested in manipulating foreign leaders with such techniques, devising several schemes to drug Fidel Castro. It often conducted experiments without the subject's knowledge or consent. In some cases, academic researchers were funded through grants from CIA front organizations, but were unaware that the CIA was using their work for these purposes. The project attempted to produce a perfect truth drug for interrogating suspected Soviet spies during the Cold War, and to explore other possibilities of mind control. Subproject 54 was the Navy's top secret perfect concussion program, which was supposed to use suboral frequency blasts to erase memory. The program was never carried out. Most MKUltra records were destroyed in 1973 by the former director Richard Helms, so it has been difficult for investigators to gain a complete understanding of the more than 150 funded research subprojects that were sponsored by MKUltra and related CIA programs. The project began during a period of what English journalist Rupert Cornwell described as paranoia at the CIA, when the U.S. had lost its nuclear monopoly and fear of communism was at its height. CIA counterintelligence chief James Jesus Angleton believed that a mole had penetrated the organization at the highest levels. The agency poured millions of dollars into studies examining ways to influence and control the mind and to enhance its ability to extract information from resistant subjects during interrogation. Some historians assert that the one goal of MKUltra and related CIA projects was to create a Manchurian candidate-style subject. American historian Alfred W. McCoy has claimed that the CIA attempted to focus media attention on these sorts of ridiculous programs so that the public would not look at the research's primary goal, which was effective methods of interrogation. One 1955 MKUltra document gives an indication of the size and range of this effort. It refers to the study of an assortment of mind-altering substances described as follows. 1. Substances which will promote illogical thinking and impulsiveness to the point where the recipient would be discredited in public. 2. Substances which increase the efficiency of mentation and perception. 3. Materials which will prevent or counteract the intoxicating effect of alcohol. 4. Materials which will promote the intoxicating effect of alcohol. 5. Materials which will produce the signs and symptoms of recognized diseases in a reversible way so they may be used for malingering, etc. 6. Materials which will render the induction of hypnosis easier or otherwise enhance its usefulness. 7. Substances which will enhance the ability of individuals to withstand privation, torture, and coercion during interrogation and so-called brainwashing. 8. Materials and physical methods which will produce amnesia for events preceding and during their use. 9. Physical methods of producing shock and confusion over extended periods of time and capable surreptitious use. 10. Substances which produce physical disablement, such as paralysis of the legs, acute anemia, etc. 11. Substances which will produce pure euphoria with no subsequent letdown. 12. Substances which alter personality structure in such a way the tendency of the recipient to become dependent upon another person is enhanced. 13. A material which causes mental confusion of such a type, the individual under its influence will find it difficult to maintain a fabrication under questioning. 14. Substances which will lower the ambition and general working efficiency of men when administered in undetectable amounts. 15. Substances which promote weakness or distortion of the eyesight or hearing faculties, preferably without permanent effects. 16. A knockout pill, which can be surreptitiously administered in drinks, food, cigarettes, as an aerosol, etc., which will be safe to use, provide a maximum of amnesia, and be suitable for use by agent types on an ad hoc basis. 17. A material which can be surreptitiously administered by the above routes, in which in very small amounts will make it impossible for a person to perform physical activity. Project MK Search. In 1964, MK Search was the name given to the continuation of the MK Ultra program. The MK Search program was divided into two projects, dubbed MK Often and MK Chickwit. Funding for MK Search commenced in 1965 and ended in 1971. The project was a joint project between the U.S. Army Chemical Corps and the CIA's Office of Research and Development. Defined new offensive use for agents with a focus on incapacitating agents. Its purpose was to develop, test, and evaluate capabilities in the covert use of biological, chemical, and radioactive material systems and techniques of producing predictable human behavior and/or physiological changes in support of highly sensitive operational requirements. By March 1971, over 26,000 potential agents had been acquired for future screening. The CIA was interested in bird migration patterns for chemical and biological warfare research. Subproject 139, designated Bird Disease Studies at Pennsylvania State. MK Often was to deal with the testing and toxicological transmissivity and behavioral effects of drugs in animals and ultimately in humans. MK Chickwit was concerned with acquiring information on new drug developments in Europe and Asia and with acquiring samples. MK Often was a covert U.S. Department of Defense program developed in conjunction with the Central Intelligence Agency sometime in the late 1960s. A partner of the descendant program of MK Search. As we said a while ago, the goal of MK Often was to test the behavioral and toxicological effects of certain drugs on animals and humans. Testing of these drugs was done on animals and prisoners at Holmesburg Prison in Philadelphia and on military personnel at the Edgewood Arsenal in Maryland. Project MK Naomi. This will be the last of the CIA mind control projects and biological warfare projects that we go over today. Project MK Naomi was the code name for a joint Department of Defense and CIA research program lasting from the 1950s through the 1970s. Unclassified information about the MK Naomi program and the related Special Operations Division is scarce. It is generally reported to be a successor to the MKUltra project, focusing on biological projects, including biological warfare agents, specifically to store materials that could either incapacitate or kill at least a test subject and to develop devices for the diffusion of such materials. During its 20 years, the CIA engaged in projects designed to increase U.S. biological and chemical warfare capabilities. Project MK-Naomi was initiated to provide the CIA with a covert support base to meet its top secret operational requirements. The base is unknown still to this day. The goal was to have a robust arsenal of lethal and incapacitating materials within the CIA's Technical Services Division. This would enable the TSD to serve as a center for supplying biological and chemical materials. Surveillance, testing, upgrading, and the evaluation of special materials and items were provided by MK-Naomi to ensure that no defects or unwanted contingencies emerged during operational conditions. The U.S. Army Special Operations Command was assigned to assist the CIA with development, testing, and maintenance procedures for the biological agents and the delivery systems in 1952 to the 1980s. Both the CIA and the Special Operations Command modified guns to fire special darts coated with biological agents and poisonous pills. The darts could incapacitate guard dogs, allowing agents to infiltrate the area that the dogs were guarding, and would then be used to awaken the dogs upon exiting the facility. In addition, the Special Operations Command was designated to research the potential use for biological agents against other animals and also food crops. A 1967 CIA memo, which uncovered by the Church Committee, contained evidence of at least three covert techniques for attacking and poisoning crops that had been tested under field conditions. On November 25, 1969, President Richard Nixon banned any military use of biological weapons, and Project Naomi was dissolved. On February 14, 1970, a presidential order outlawed all stockpiles of bacteriological weapons and non-living toxins. However, despite the presidential order, a CIA scientist was able to acquire an estimated 11 grams of deadly shellfish toxin from the Special Operations Command personnel at Fort Detrick, Maryland. The toxin was stored in a CIA laboratory where it remained undetected for over 5 years. If you do not think we as a country are capable of some of the most incapable and human things, then you do not know your history. I speculate as I look around and I see many of these active shooters, the terrorist attacks, and I know that radicalization and politics and religion and ideology can always be a benefactor of a person turning into a rampant, violent human being, thus causing mass casualty of life. However, we have to understand that since 1949, our government has been admittedly trying to create the perfect assassin, the perfect mass killer, with just a few simple cocktails of their favorite drugs. A lot of times what we see now with these active shooters that they are fed all different types of dopamine-causing drugs that cause illicit behavior and violent reactions when taken off of the drugs. Lucid behavior, hallucinogenic effects, psychological deterioration of a person from being on these drugs for an extended period of time and then not being able to either afford or take these drugs due to doctor's recommendations and changing doses or changing prescriptions has been known and validated to cause people to have psychotic episodes that do cause the loss of life. Please be aware of your surroundings. I will not be there to hold your hand. I will not be there to be the added gun to your side to protect you when everything breaks down. Understand, whenever I say everything that I've gone over with you so far has been while the lights are on, the water is running, law enforcement is still working, the meds are still available. Let me give you a couple of conditions as to when things can actually break down. One, the massive loss of power from electromagnetic pulse, or a CME. Any type of attack from our enemies, or even a hacking attack from somebody from within the continental United States or outside the continental United States, causing the massive loss of power, can and will cause people that are on psychoactive drugs to lose their faculties and become potentially violent, potentially deadly, dangerous. Another one is that China could actually cut off the United States' ability of having a extended backup of these psychoactive drugs. We get most of our drugs at this point in time from China. Strategically, that's a stupid idea by our government. If we are going to continue to have a nation that is going to be doped up, then we should probably be making those prescriptions here in the United States. Imagine what China could do after we start to run low on all these prescriptions that keep people sane, that keep people off the drugs, that keep the voices closed off in their heads. And now the drugs are cut off from China and people start to unravel in society. We will turn into the imaginary Gotham City that Batman has to operate in very quickly. As most recently discussed in my active shooter awareness and reaction course that I taught at the Ready Made Resources Center, the FBI statistics is that from 2017 to current, active shooters alone have gone up 1,000% and more. And that is involving mass shootings of 4 persons or more. So it's not counting the shootings of 3 persons and under. So already that stat is actually low on how much the percentage of violence has increased. At the rate that we are going, we will surpass that number in a year and a half. By a year and a half, we may be close to a 2,000% increase in violence since 2017, the year after Donald Trump became president. This should all start to make sense to you now. Be aware of your surroundings. Stay vigilant. Stay frosty. The enemy is out there. If you care to support my work, please help fund the American Vindictus Show by going to theamericanvindictusshow.com to the subsection labeled Donations and follow the instructions from there. If you'd like to send a check and not use any of the digital platforms, there is a P.O. Box address labeled within the Donations subsection. I want to thank everyone who donates, everyone who gives prayers, everyone who supports me in what I do. My mission, my goal here is to bring the history back to life so that those of you with ears to hear and eyes to see can see the proof that there is nothing new under the sun, that what we are experiencing now, the powers that be have been experimenting with and planning on this for a very long time. I pray that God keeps his hand of mercy upon all of you, that he keeps you out of harm's way at all times, and if need be, that his angels guard you and walk with you with their sword drawn and their shields up. And for all of you who are worried about the politics of the day, you're worried about how this government of ours is unraveling, I would like you to remember this. Sometimes the best moves in politics is to refuse to play the game in the first place. I didn't say don't pay attention. I said don't play the game. You'll know what that means when the time comes. John 8, verse 32. For ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Every Christian believer should have a foremost desire to share the truth with everyone. Not just the truth of the politics that you know and understand. Not the false messiah that our country has made into Donald Trump. But the truth about the redeeming blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for any of you that are listening to me right now that are going through hard times and have been tempted. If you have not been saved, to please give yourself over to Christ. Toss your burdens at his feet. Be anointed by his redeeming blood and live in victory. We are not to live in defeat. Our King has already won this world. He has already defeated the enemy and won the battle. You are now a citizen of heaven if you are a Christian. Time to start acting like it and thinking like it. God be with you all. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.